Now we're holding Yud Beis, Amud Aleph, the fourth line. We started talking about, so the Mishnah says the case Ra'os and Rotsin Achar Metzia. We said if person sees people running in his field after a Metzia, if he says Zosali Sadi and we discuss does he actually need to say that or not, then he's Kone, if not, then not. Well, actually, what we said was, to be exact, was we said also that it depends not only whether he says Zoxali Sadi or Omi Batsad Sadehu, as the case may be, but also that it has to be something where he would be able to get it before it runs out of his, field. For example, a deer has a broken leg and therefore it's not going to be able to run that fast. Otherwise, it doesn't count. So in that connection, so now as Mara says Gufa, so now getting back to that, Ra'os and Rotsin Achar Metzia v'chola, Omer Rav Yirmi, Omer Rav Yechanan, Vusha Rots Acharein Magian, that this would only apply if he's able to run after them and catch them before they run out of the field. And, Boy Rav Yirmi b'matona heya. Now Rav Yirmi asked, what would be the din by a matona? Would we say the same kind of thing? In other words, if a person gives, let's say, for example, you have the deer or the birds or whatever, somebody gave it to him as a present, as opposed to here where he's finding it from Hefker and it's in his field, but it's going to run out before he manages to get to it. Would the same concept apply that he's only going to be zoche in it because of Kinyan Chotzer only if he's able to reach it before it runs out? Or would we say, by a matana, it's different because there you have das acheres, because there you have somebody giving it to him as a matana, and therefore the din would be maybe that even if it runs out before he gets it, nevertheless, he was already koine it when it was in his field, and he doesn't lose the ownership of it just because it runs out. So the Gemara says, Kibla b'minei Rav Abba bar Kahana, sort of Abba bar Kahana accepted that from him, meaning he said, that's true, that is a valid distinction, Afa pisha rotzach rein v'ein magian, and it's true, by Matona he would be zoicha even if he doesn't reach it in time, because by Matona, since you have das acheres involved, then therefore he can be koinet by Kenyan chotzer, again, as long as it's a chotzer a mishtameres, even though he doesn't reach it in time. So the Gemara says, Boi Rava, in that case, Rava asks the question, Zorak Auniki Pesach Zeh. What if a person threw a purse through one door of a house, the Yotzeh Pesach Acha Mahu, and it flew through the house and went out the other door? Now, Rashi explains that the case would be that when the person threw the purse, he was mafkir it to whoever's koine it first. So now the question would be, it's because so Reuven threw the purse and was mafkir it, and now it's flying through Shimon's house. Is Shimon koine it by virtue of it going through his house, or no, because it doesn't land there and it ends up going out the other door? So according to Rashi, we're talking about that he was mafkir it. Tosfos actually brings a girsa that they had in front of them that said the word ba'afkere, but Tosfos didn't like it, and says that no, we're talking about it remains his until somebody else is zoche in it. So he's not actually being mafkere. He's just saying, So Tosfos points out the problem with it is that in that case, then what does it have to do with our Mishnah again? Or what does it have to do with Rav Yirmiyah's case of Das Acheres Machne? If he's Machgerith, then there's still no Das Acheres. Shimon, whose house it's flying through, is acquiring it from Hefker. There's no Das involved. So the Rashba talks about the fact is the owner made it Hefker, so that's enough to be considered Das Acheres, as opposed to here you found a deer that may never have belonged to somebody else, and the first makes a different point on it. He says that the fact is, well, how does the mechanism of Hefker work anyway, is basically a neder. Well, then in that case, so there is Das Acheres Machne, he's just not allowed to retract his neder. So are we talking about that he was mafkir it or not? That you have a discussion among the Rishonim. Anyway, so Rava is asking, the question is, Mahu, what would be the din? Would we say, since it's not going to land over there, because the way it was thrown, it's going to naturally pass through there, it's not going to land there in the first place, maybe that's enough, maybe nevertheless, it's considered as though it landed in there, and therefore the guy would be koine it, or maybe not. So, omelet a popular rova, ma'amilot of adaba masna, so three different versions of who pointed this out to Rava. Lav Hainu Masnissin. Isn't this exactly the case of our Mishnah, where you have in the Mishnah the case Ra'os and Rotzen Achra Metziah, that you have people running after a Metziah, and he says that I want my field to be Zoycha for me. And Rabbi Yirmiyah said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that it means that he has to reach it. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, and Rabbi Yirmiyah asked on that the Matana Heyach, what would be the din by Matana, implying by Matana it's different. The Kibla Minei Rab Abba Kahana by Matana, Afri Shirot Zachrein Vein Magion, and Rab Abba Kahana said, yes, that's indeed so. By Matana, the fact is he would be Koina even if he runs after it and doesn't catch it. So you see that even though Ein Sofa Lanuach, this deer, for example, is a healthy deer, and it's going to run out of the field before he gets it, nevertheless, by Matana it's different. So again, according to Rashi that we're talking about in the case of the purse, he was after it, then you would have to say, like the Rashba says that you're talking about, that there is after all a Das who's after it, or like the Ktois says, that in effect he's making a neder to be after it, and therefore it still belongs to him. He just can't retract his neder, according to Tosfos and the other Rishonim, he's not necessarily being after it, so it remains his until the next person gets it, and therefore, so now that amounts to a Matana. Well, in that case, so that would answer your question. Yes, the Shimon, the owner of the house, is Kona the purse, even though it flies out of his house because it passed through his house. Omalei, but Rava says that's not a proof. Misgalgo Kamet, you're talking about in the Mishnah, you're trying to bring a proof from something that's rolling or running on the ground. Shiny Misgalgo to Kamunach Dami. It's different when it's rolling or running on the ground. There it can be considered as though it's actually lying on the ground, as opposed to the purse flies through the air altogether, and there it's not really the same thing at all. Now Rashi points out, by the way, there's no question if Sofer Lenuach Pesach Abayis, if the one who threw it in such a way where it would normally land in the house, then there's no question, even if somebody else grabs it before it lands on the ground, he's not koine. As soon as it comes into the airspace of the house, the balabas is koine. Rashi brings a proof from a case in Gittin where we had like that, where a woman is standing on top of a roof and the husband standing on the ground throws her a get. Then the get takes effect as soon as it goes into the airspace of the roof because it is going to land there. But here we're talking about where to begin with it was thrown in such a way where it would end up passing through the entire house. So Rava is saying from our Mishnah is not really a proof because the fact is in our Mishnah the deer is running, meaning that it keeps on touching the ground. So therefore you can say, or any other kind of metziah like that you're talking about, that it's touching the ground, and therefore you can say that then it's considered on the ground. But that doesn't prove for the case where it's just flying through the air, then that wouldn't necessarily follow. So the fact is, Rava's question has not been answered over here. Agos Agra points out over here that the Rambam doesn't bring that distinction at all. Only in connection, the Rambam brings it in connection with Gittin, but he doesn't mention it in connection with the halachas of Mecha Homemker or Dine Mominus at all. He mentions the first part of Rava's question when it's flying through the air. But he doesn't draw the distinction between misgalgal or not. So one consideration Mefoshim point out is that there are other gemaras that bear on this. There's a gemara in Zvachim, for example, that talks about when a kohen is doing kabbalah sadam by a korban, you can have a case over there where the blood is spurting out of the neck of the animal, and meanwhile, all of a sudden, at that same moment, the kli sharis that he's using, the mizrak that he uses, develops a hole in it, and therefore the blood is not going to reach the bottom of it, because the bottom fell out, and we say that's not a valid kabbalah, so therefore the Rambam can deduce from that yes, we can say that Abashain Sofer Lanuach, Kamunach Domi, that say that when it's not going to land there, it's not considered like Munach, and therefore that would answer our question over here, even though the Gemara over here hasn't explicitly answered it. Okay. Mishnah says, Metzias b'noy, continuing on the dinim of Metzia, here let's focus on, a Metzia that somebody else found, somebody in his household. Metzias b'noy b'tei ktanim, what a person's ktanim son or daughter find, and we're going to see in the Gemara two possibilities what we mean by ktanim for this purpose, or Metzias abde b'shifchase ktanim, or anything that is eved ktani or shifch ktani is fine, where they're considered his own avodim after all. He has kinyan aguf on them, so whatever they do is an extension of him. And Metzias Mashkona Eved Kona Rabbi, and Metzias Ishtoi, and also anything his wife finds, Harei El Shaloi, all of those he belongs. All of those belong to him. So in the case of Bnoi Ubitoi Ktanim, we'll see in the Gemara two possibilities of what Ktanim means in this connection, and therefore why he gets to keep them. The Abd of Shechos Ktanim, again, their goof is Kodri to him. As far as his wife, Rashi says the Chachamim will misaken it because of Eva. Which either means, it can mean that if she gets to keep it, then the husband is going to not be so well disposed to her. He's going to say, wait, I'm supporting you, I'm everything, and now I don't even get your Metzia. The Rashba points out another point as well, which is, you might have conceivably, if she's allowed to keep her Metzia, she might claim any money that she comes across or whatever, even in cases where it should legitimately belong to her husband. For example, Paris from her Nichsa Malug or whatever, she might falsely claim as a Metzia in order to keep it away from her husband, and therefore by saying that it goes to her husband, and that forestalls that possibility. So that would be another meaning of Eva. Next, Metzias b'noy b'tei gdolim. On the other hand, what his gdolim, son or daughter, find, and again, we'll see once we see in the Gemara what ktanim means for this purpose, then we'll understand that gdolim obviously is the opposite. Or Metzias abdev shchase ivrim. Or anything that is Eved Ivri or Omoh Ivriya fine. Now, their goof is not koni to him. When a person buys an Eved Ivri or an Omoh Ivriya, he doesn't own their goof, he only owns their work. Now, the Gemara is going to ask that the fact is they're working for him. We touched on the other day in the Gemara that Metzias Poel Abalabayas, so the Gemara will deal with that point on Amud Beis. But in any case, the point is, you can't say their goof is koni to him, and therefore whatever they're koni, then he's koni, because that only works by avodim and shvachas knan. So here, instead, Metzias Ishtei Shigirsha, or if his wife finds something after he divorced her, now the Gemara is going to ask, well, that's partial, because once he divorced her, obviously they have nothing to do with one another, so we'll see in the Gemara about that. Anyway, even if he did not yet pay the ksuba, nevertheless it still belongs to them. So the Gemara starts off. Omer Shmuel. Now Shmuel is going to take the cotton and godel of our Mishnah in the literal sense. We're going to see on Amud Beis that Rabbi Yochanan is going to learn differently, but right now we're going to explain according to Shmuel that the word cotton in our Mishnah means an actual cotton. So Amar Shmuel, mitnei ma omru metzias cotton la'aviv. Why did the Chachamim say that what a child finds belongs to his father? Now Rashi explains, when it comes to his wife, we said Mishum Eva. When it comes to his daughter, also we understand. Now Tosfos on Amud Beis deals with that. According to Rashi, the reason is because it would be midaraisa, since the Torah says bin oreha beisaviha. The Torah says about a girl, as long as she's a ketana or naira, then she's in her father's house, meaning that her father has reshus over her, as we learned in kedushin, for example, he can accept her kedushin during that time, etc. So therefore, on the basis of that, then is why her Metzia belongs to her father. Tosfos actually disagrees and says, no, it's not Daraisa, it's only Dirabbanan, because since he has the ability to be Mekadosh her to whoever he wants, to accept Kedushin on her behalf from whoever he wants, including a Menuhal or Mukashvin, then therefore the Chachamim made it that instead he should get her Metzia, and that will give him an incentive to not do that. Shmuel wants to know why is that the case with a cotton? Neither of those considerations applies to a cotton. There's no Ava involved. There's no particular reason to think there's Ava involved. To be Makat to Vinureha Besavia applies to a girl. To be Makadish her to somebody else, a man can't be Makadish his son as a cotton to somebody else. So why do the Chachamim say that what a child finds, what a boy finds, belongs to his father? The reason is because when he finds it, he runs it to his father. A child naturally does that. When he finds something, he's very excited about it, and he runs and tells his father about it. But he doesn't hold it for any length of time in his hand. He right away goes and tells his tatas about it. So therefore, Rashi says the result is when he picked it up to begin with, he picked it up for his father. Meaning, in other words, Shmuel is not even saying that he's first zoicha in it for himself, and then from that he's mezaka to his father. Rather, we're saying to begin with, when he picks it up, he has in mind to give it to his father. So it's not even really. So, you know, we had the other day the whole discussion about a magbia matzia lachaveret kona chaveroi, but there you're talking about or loy kona chaveroi. There you're talking about though where the person himself has the ability to be koin. Here Shmuel is saying that to begin with, the child himself doesn't really have the ability to be koin it. Because not really, he may have the ability. Cotton does have the ability to be koin it, but he doesn't have. He doesn't have the das to be koinet for himself. When he picks it up, he immediately thinks of his father. So the Gemara asks, "Lememra discover Shmuel Kotten Lesley Schiel LeNafshim Midaraisa." So are you telling me then that a child is not zoicha in something for himself midaraisa, only midrabanan? Because if we were to say, in other words, the point of the question is, if we were to say that he's zoicha min haTorah, then the fact that he's zoicha min haTorah would not be reason enough to take it away from him and give it to his father. So we have to assume that the whole thing is midrabon. The Maharam Shif puts it a little differently. He says, if you're going to say that he's zoicha min haTorah, then why are we saying as a blanket statement, kot metzias of Ovid, according to Shmuel's reason, it would depend. Is this a child who runs over and shows everything to his father, but not necessarily? So the fact that not means that the Chachamim are, to begin with, making the takana that he can be kona, and then he can be zoicha, and then therefore they're overriding that same takana of theirs in favor of their father. On the other hand, the Rosh learns that the Gemara's question is that maybe even Midrabanan doesn't have a method of being zoicha. So even when he's zoicha in the first place, then it would actually only be dirabon. But again, according to Rashi, the point is, and according to many of the other Rishonim, the point is that we're saying that the concept of a cotton being zoicha is only dirabon. That's the question. So you're telling me that that's the case. For Hatani, we learn in a Braisa, if a person hires a worker to harvest his crops, then the worker's son is allowed to collect leket after him. Now we know one of the matnas aniyim is when you drop one or two stalks of grain, or in the case of grapes, one or two grapes while you're harvesting them, then they have to be left for the poor. So now, normally, you're going to have poor people are going to be wandering around the field looking for leket. In this case, the worker himself can have his son follow behind him and pick up any leket that he drops. And that way, the worker will be able to keep it as matnas aniyim. But, continues the braisa, lemechta l'shlish v'lerviya, but if instead of hiring the worker and paying him a certain fixed amount, instead he tells him that you're going to get a half or a third or a quarter of the produce of the field, lo yalakat b'nai achrav, then the worker's son is not allowed to go behind him collecting the leket. So then the reason is, Rashi explains, because then what happens is, he's like a balabos in this field. So when his son is collecting for him, it's considered as though he's collecting for himself. So Rabbeinu Hananel says actually that what it is the worker himself is now going to be considered a rich person. And as we learned the other day, a rich person cannot be zoicha in matnas aniyim. We said Rabbi Eliezer says that in a way he could because he could make himself poor, but we said the Chachamim disagree with that. So now, as a result of that, he owns, of that, that based on the deal, he owns a half or a third or a quarter of the produce of the field. Rabbi Hanan learns it means that now he's an usher. On the other hand, Rashi says it's not so much that he's an usher, it's more a matter of that he's considered a balabos in this field. And the din is, we learn actually from Psukim, that when the owner of the field, even if the owner of the field himself is poor, he's not allowed to collect the leket or any matnas aniyim from that field himself. We talked about it the other day in connection with Peya. We touched on it that we said that for one person to collect leket on behalf of the other one, that depending whether they're aniyim, whether the one's an oni and the other an osher, or both of them are aniyim, we talked about the different ways of understanding whether he's able to or not. But the owner of the field is certainly not allowed to. He has a specific mitzvah to leave the matnas aniyim for the poor. So therefore, so Rashi learns that in effect, by becoming, by being given as payment for his work, a half or whatever percentage of the produce of the field, then he now becomes, in effect, an owner of the field, and therefore the din is that he's not allowed to collect like that. And the point is his son can't collect it after him. Rabbi Yossi says either way, it doesn't matter whether he's being paid for the job or whether he's actually getting a certain percentage of the crop. Either way, Rabbi Yossi says his son or his wife could follow him and collect the leket. And Shmuel says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So now, if you're going to say that a cotton is able to be koina on his own, whether we talk about daraisa or whether or not, as the case may be, then you can say, fine, he come a leket, lenafshe come a leket. So fine, he's entitled to collect the leket for himself because the son himself is poor. And then in turn, he gives it to his father, and that's not a problem. So that would explain how the halacha can be like Rabbi Yossi. Eli, I'm a cotton, less by schir lenafshe. But if you tell me that the cotton has no ability to be koina on his own, daraisa, or maybe not even dirabanan, the problem is, then it comes out, when he's collecting on behalf of his father. And the problem is, the problem is that his father is considered rich. According to Rabbeinu Hanano, literally we mean he's considered rich. Or according to Rashi, he's considered an owner of the, co-owner of the field, whatever. The point is, so why should his wife or his son be able to collect after him? So doesn't that show that a cotton does have the ability to be zoicha for himself? So not like Shmuel was saying that in our Mishnah, the reason why Matzias cotton l'aviv is based on the fact that he's not zoicha in it himself in the first place, because finding leket is basically the same thing as finding a Matzias. Now Tosfos, who holds that the discussion in the Gemara was whether he's zoicha daraisa, and in fact Tosfos has the girsa in the Gemara isra zchia v'nafshim that he has zchia midaraisa. Goes Habach also adds that word. Why do we have to assume that Rabbi Yossi would say that daraisa the child is able to be koine? Why not say that he's only zoicha midirabanan? And therefore the child is able to collect it, and then the father is able to give it from him, because on a daraisa level, the child does not have the ability to be zoicha in it. And Tosfos discusses, because there are other mishnayos that imply that not, and maybe there is a consideration of Ava. Tosfos mentions over here a point like this. We're not going to say, if we were going to say that the concept of a child acquiring this midrabanan, then the result is we would have to say there are two takonas over here. First, they would have to make a takona that the son should be zoicha, and then they would have to make a takona that the father should be zoicha from him. So it's not logical, the Tosfos says, it's not a svara to say that the chachamim should make such two takonas. First, to say that the son should be koina, and then to say that the father should be koina from him. So therefore, that's why the Gemara doesn't assume that possibility, and therefore it assumes that if Rabbi Yossi is going to say that the child acquires it, it has to be on a daraisa level. Now this business where Tosfos is saying you don't make two takonas, on the other hand, the Marshal points out when we get soon to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion on Amud Beis, where there we actually have the Chachamim are saying that even though the child is a godel, sometimes the Metziah goes to the father, Mishum Eva, So there you have. So there you don't have two takonis. So Marshall points out there what you have is that the child finds anything, the father should get it mishum eva. As far as the child himself, he keeps it mipnei dafke shalom, as opposed to by leket, where we don't have that because where by leket, when the father is considered rich, we can't say that because the fact is the Torah says that he being rich, he's not able to be zoifen in it. That's Marshall, and then Marshall talks about that why isn't it considered two zchuyas? And Marshall discusses differently. He said, look, we're talking, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're talking about a gadol. We're not even talking in our Mishnah about a katan necessarily. We're talking about a gadol. So if even he who is able to be zoche in something in a Torah, and yet Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that Eva overrides that, then how much more so a katan? So therefore you wouldn't have the problem of what Tosfos is saying over here of two zechias, two takonis. Anyway, so the question again is going back to the Gemara. So the question is on Shmuel. How can Shmuel say the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, which implies therefore that he's saying the katan is zoicha for himself first, and then is mezakeh to his father, and that's the only way that it can work for the child to be able to collect leket, and not then and the father not be over on the fact that he's a part owner of the field and is collecting leket from it. And yet, on the other hand, Shmuel is saying, in connection with our Mishnah, that we're saying because the child is not zoicha in it for himself, he immediately runs it to his father. So the answer is Shmuel, time is a time of Yidan, Kamar. The answer is when Shmuel gives the answer about the child running the thing immediately over to his father, he's only coming to explain the reasoning of the Tana of our Mishnah. V'leilei svidalei, he himself doesn't hold like that. Because he himself doesn't hold like that, he instead holds like Rabbi Yossi, and in other words, implicitly, Rabbi Yossi would disagree with our Mishnah and say that that Metzias b'no bitak tanim may well still belong to the child if the child chooses to give it to his father, as he does in the case of leket, then good, but not necessarily as he required to. So the question is, for Sabra Rabbi Yossi, cotton is a schir medaraisa. So you're telling me then that Rabbi Yossi holds that a cotton is able to be zoicha in something midaraisa, because actually that's the way we say it, not that there's dirabonans involved over here. We're talking about that Rabbi Yossi would say on a daraisa level, the child is able to be zoicha. Therefore, in our Mishnah, not necessarily would Rabbi Yossi say that it goes to the father, because we would stick with the din daraisa. And in the case of leket, for the same reason, the child is acquiring it midaraisa, and therefore that's not a problem. He's not the usher. He's not the one who owns a percentage of the crop of the field. So therefore, no problem for him to collect leket. So, but that implies, so again, as Tosfos had said, the Gemara can't assume that Rabbi Yossi would say that the whole concept was only Medirabonan, because that would require us to say two takanis, one that the child is two zechias, one that the child is zoicha in it for himself, and two that the father is zoicha in it from him, and Tosfos assumes that the Gemara is not going to want to do that. So therefore, so we have to assume that Rabbi Yossi means that the child is actually kind of daraisa. The question is that in fact so? V'hotnan, we learn in the Mishnah, Metzias cheres shoyt v'kotten, yesh ben mishum gezel, mipnei darkei shalom. If a cheres shoyt v'kotten finds something, then there's a matter, we learned this in Gittin, then there's an issue of gezel in it, you're not allowed to take it away from them, not midaraisa, but only midrabonim mipnei darkei shalom, in order to keep peace, because otherwise people are going to fight. Rabbi Yossi and Gezel Gomer, Rabbi Yossi says that it's not only, Rabbi Yossi says it's not only midrabanan, it's actually gezel gomer, and the omer of chista, and Rav Chista says when he says gezel gomer, he doesn't mean midaraisa. Now gezel gomer midaraisa would mean to the extent where now the person who takes it would be posel la'edus. Even Rabbi Yossi doesn't go that far. All he means is ela gezel gomer midigrehen. All he means is it's full fledged gezel midrabanan. Now, why would there be a difference? Dafke Shalom is also Dirabanan. Nafkamina lahitziya b'dayon. So Rav Chista explains the difference between the Tanakama, who says it's Dafke Shalom, and Rabbi Yossi, who says that it's because Gezel Gomer Medivrayim would be, can you get it back in Beiskin? So a Cheresh picked up some, a cotton or whatever, picked up something. Somebody else went and grabbed it away from him. According to the Tanakama, he shouldn't have done it. They Dafke Shalom. But now that he has it already, it's too late. And the Cheresh or the Cotton or whatever can't take him to Beis Din and demand it back. Because after all, the other guy was Koine. On the other hand, according to Rav Yossi, that's considered Gezel Gomer Medivrehem. We're not going to go so far as to say that the one who grabbed it is going to be Pasul Eidus, but we are going to make, but Beis Din is going to make him give it back to the Cheresh or Shoyter Kot. So we see from that that even, so we see from that that even Rav Yossi doesn't hold that a cotton is Zoycha Medaraisa. So we're back to the question, how can Rav Yossi say that the, that in the case of the cotton following his father while and the father is harvesting and meanwhile the son is collecting the leket that he should be able to. How does that work then? So the answer is Ella Omer Abaya. So Abaya says no, you're right. Rav Yossi does in fact agree with our Mishnah that the cotton is only Zoycha Midrabban. In that case, then why is he allowed to collect the leket? The reason is Asa'uha Kmosha Holchaba Namoshes. Because the Chachamim treat this field for this purpose as though it's one where the Namoshes have already gone through. We're going to learn at the beginning of the second parak, we're going to talk about the Mishnah in Peah mentions that there comes a point when whatever leket or other matnas anim are left in a field, anybody, poor or rich, is allowed to come and take it. And the Mishnah says that would be once the Namoshes have walked through the field. We're going to quote that Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak. And explain the word namoshes has two possible meanings. Two different amiroim argue whether it means it can mean old people who walk with a walking stick. So in that case, the word namosh would be from the Shurdish moshash, which means to feel around, because like they feel their way around with their stick. So in other words, the idea is once even those old people have gone through the field, then other aniyim are going to figure, you know what? At that point, there's not going to be anything left for us. If even the old slow walkers have gotten there already, then there's probably nothing left for us. Or the other explanation is it means lakuti, boss of lakuti, means one group of aniyim have come and collected whatever they found, and then a second group came after them and collected whatever was left. At that point, any other aniyim are going to be miyayish shmit. They're going to figure that realistically there's nothing left in the field left for us. Anyway, so now Abaye is saying that the same thing. When you have the worker is collecting, and when a worker is harvesting, and the son is collecting leket after him, and then the Chachamim allow the son to take the leket, because now even though we're saying, according to Rav Yossi now, we're saying that the cotton has a zechiya only midrabbana, meaning that Daraisa, whatever he finds belongs to his father. So then the question would be, well, how could that be then? How is he collecting the leket when his father is a part owner of the field and shouldn't be allowed to collect the leket? The answer is the Chachamim are making an exception over here and saying that we treat this field as though it was one where the Namoshes already went in it. Meaning, Daniyim Gufayu Maski Datayu, the Aniyim themselves are Masiyah Das, Savi, because they figure, they figure to themselves, look, realistically, what leket are we going to find in this field? The son is following behind his father. Whatever the father drops, the son is immediately going to collect. So there's really not going to be any leket for them in the first place, and therefore they're masiyach das and they're miyash. So that would explain why Rav Yossi allows the son to collect. Not because he's Zoycha Midaraisa. In fact, Rav Yossi agrees that a cotton is Zoycha only Midarabanan, but because the other Aniyim are giving up on finding anything over there anyway. But, Omalit, there's the two Pshatim in the word Namoshes, yeah. So, Omalit of Adaba, yeah, one is that it means the old people, the other is it means the second group of collectors, yeah. Either way, the point is.
Lakuti
means collectors after collectors. It means, in other words, when you have the first group went through and collected, and then a second group goes and collects whatever they find that's left, then at that point, any other aniyim are miyayish and figure there's not going to be anything left over here. At that point, anybody is allowed to take the leket. In a similar way over here, since to begin with, the aniyim see that his son is following behind him, they're going to realize this is in effect as though there were namoshes over here already. So therefore, they're going to be masiyach das, they're going to be miyash, and therefore the son is allowed to collect it, because at that point anybody is allowed to collect it after the namoshes have been through. So Rabbi is saying, the Chachamim treat this field as though the namoshes have already been through it. But, omelet of Adam Amasna Rabbiya, what kind of an argument is that? Is a person allowed to go and, for example, make a lion sit there in his field so the Aniyim will see and run away and not collect the leket, and then he'll be able to take all the leket for himself? Of course not. In fact, Mishnayos and Peah say just that. They don't mention a lion specifically, but it mentions that if a person somehow prevents the Aniyim from taking the leket, then he's gozolas Aniyim. Well, the same thing over here. How are we allowing this worker to have his son follow behind him, and then the other Aniyim are going to say, look, we're not going to be able to collect anything anyway. We may as well not bother. Isn't that the equivalent of the owner of the field preventing the Aniyim or doing something to make that the Aniyim are not going to want to come into the field?
The son of the cotton?
Yeah, we're talking about a cotton.
And the fact we said that he gives it to his father, so really the father.
That's what we're asking. That's what we're asking. If we're going to take, We've already established that Rabbi Yossi holds the cotton is not Zoicha Deraisa. We're saying that he's only Zoicha Derabbanan, and therefore he can agree with our Mishnah. However, then that doesn't explain why he would say that even when the father gets a percentage of the crop, then why should that he gets a percentage of the crop? Why should we say that? Why should we say the son is allowed to collect just because that means the other Aniyim are going to give up? Well, who gave you the right to make them give up in the first place by having your son follow behind? Yeah. Ella Omar Rava. Rather, Rava says in this case also she'ina zoicha kezoicha. The Chachamim over here have a reason to make somebody who's not normally Zoicha as if he was. Rashi explains that we're talking about the child himself. The child himself usually would not be Zoicha when there's somebody else around to be Zoicha in it instead. But here the Chachamim make an exception, and they say that he can be Zoicha for himself, and then the worker, his father, can be Zoicha from him. That's according to Rashi. There are other Rishonim who learn that the She'ena Zoicha to Zoicha means, in other words, that even though normally the worker himself should not be able to be we treat them as though even though they were not zoicha in this leket because they didn't pick it up, the chachamim for this purpose are going to treat it as though they did pick it up and then they gave it to him, to the worker. Why? So that's how they explain ein zoicha kazeh. My time aniyim gufayu nichalahu. Because the Aniyim themselves would prefer it that way. They also want the same kind of thing when they're hired as seasonal workers, that their children should be able to follow them and collect the leket. So therefore, it's mutually beneficial. In this case, fine. Let this worker have his son collect the leket, and that way we'll have the same opportunity another time ourselves. So therefore, the Chachamim are going to make an exception over here. Again, according to Rashi, the vote is, even though normally the son is not going to be Zoicha for himself, in this case the Chachamim are going to allow him to be Zoicha for himself and then be Mezakeh to his father. And according to the Rosh, the vote is that even though the other Aniyim have not gotten this leket, the Chachamim treat it as though the Aniyim did get the leket and gave it to him, having this in mind that in the future they'll be able to do the same kind of thing. So that doesn't show that in general the Kotan should have the right to be Zoicha in something on behalf of himself. So no, we can still stick with what Shmuel was saying, that in our Mishnah, when the Kotan finds a Metzia, he immediately runs it to his father, meaning he's not Kona in the first place. In the case of Matnas Aniyim, in the case of Leket, we're also saying he's not really being Kona himself, but we're saying there the Chachamim made an exception to make the mechanism work in order because the other Aniyim liked it that way. So all of that was Shmuel's explanation of our Mishnah, that when it says Metzias Bno Bita Ktanim, means actual Ktanim below Bar and Bas Mitzvah. Now, Now, what Shmuel is explaining in our Mishnah is disagreeing with what Rav Chiya Ba'Abba said. The Amr Rav Chiya Ba'Abba, Amr Rav Yechanan, Loi Godol Godol Mamish. He explains, that Rav Chiya Ba'Abba explains in the name of Rav Yechanan, the word Godol over here does not literally mean a Godol, that he's over bar mitzvah, but like cotton mamish, the word cotton does not mean literally a cotton as in below bar mitzvah. Ela godol v'samoch al shulchan aviv zehu cotton. Even if he's a godol, if he's still dependent on his father for his support, that he's still sitting at his father's table and eating his father's food, then he's considered a cotton. So even though he's a godel, and he would be able to be zoicha, we have the issue, mishum eva, we don't want, the father is gonna resent the fact that I'm supporting you, and you can't even give me your metziah, so therefore then he's considered a cotton for this purpose. On the other hand, cotton ben a samuchal shulchan aviv, but if he's a cotton, and he's not eating by his father's table, zehu godel, then he's considered a godel for this purpose. So it doesn't depend on his actual age, it depends on whether he's whether he's living by and being supported by his father's table. Now, Tosfos discusses over here, first of all, the halacha would have to be like, first of all, Tosfos says that Tosfos actually discusses this. You'd have the same machlokas by Eru. By Eruv Tchumin, you also have an Eruv Chatzeres and whatever, you have the same kind of machlokas where the Kotan and Godel means the same thing, you'd have the same kind of thing. So Tosfos says you'd have the same kind of machlokas over there. Agoris Hagura points out that the Rambam disagrees with that and says only here do you have, so here, you have Shmuel against Rabbi Yochanan. The halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, but not necessarily would you have the same machlokas when it comes to an Eruv. The naftamina of it is, so when you make an Eruv Chatzeres or an Eruv Tavshilin or whatever, and you want to be mezakeh through somebody else, that all your neighbors or whoever should be able to join in it as well, do you have to be mezakeh through somebody who's not sitting at your table? According to Tosfos, you would. You would have to find somebody from outside the family to do it with. On the other hand, according to the Rambam, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, it's not necessary to do that. You can have a member of your household as a godly. No. You're mezakeh through somebody else, so you make the Eruv Tavshilin or whatever, and then you're mezakeh through somebody else. It's fine to use a child who's a godol, even though he's eating by your table. Then Tosfos goes on and discusses various other points. So even though she's a katana, then her metziah, we said in the mission, doesn't go to her master, and therefore by an eruv, therefore Tosfos says by an eruv you would have the same thing as well, that she is able to be zoicha and mezakeh in the eruv. Anyway, Tosfos goes on to discuss various things about the eruv, but then Tosfos says, now the abdev shechose ivrim, they are somoch al shulchanai. So why does the Mishnah say they get to keep their metziah for themselves? If according to Rabbi Yochanan was saying that when a child is somoch al shulchanai or not, so Tosfos draws a distinction. It's only because with his own son, a person usually supports his own son. If the father doesn't support him because of Eva, nobody else is going to necessarily. As opposed to, for example, if somebody else is somoch al shulchan chaveri, for example, a yosem, we're not going to say that. In fact, Mephoshim point out, there is, after all, a mitzvah. There's a big mitzvah to support a yosem, so therefore other people will take it up. If the foster father stops doing that, then other people will take over. And similarly, as far as a girl, when she's a naira, there you have the matter of Eva, so therefore the father gets to keep the mitzvah, and so on and so forth. So the bottom line is, in other words, it's not just a matter of somo hashulchanai. According to Tosfos, in order for that din to apply, it would have to be somo hashulchanai, and where there would be that nobody else would support him. Otherwise, that's when we say according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Messiah goes to him, but otherwise not. Continues the Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the definition of Godel and Cotton in our Mishnah is not physical age, but rather whether there's some Hal Shulchanot. Okay. Now, the Mishnah had said, Metzias Abdev Shechose Ivri Mahareo Shal Atzman, that with an Eved of Ivri or Omar Hebria, they get to keep whatever they find. So the question is, Amai, Lo Yehei El Apoyo. Fine, you're saying that you don't own their goof, and therefore, and as Tosfos had said, that other people will support them if necessary. But, shouldn't they have at least the din of a worker? V'tanya, we learned in a b'raisa, which you learned this the other day, Metzias Poyel La'atzmai, what a worker finds, he gets to keep for himself. Only when he hired him, for example, for a specific job, weed with me today or hoe with me today. So then when he's picking up the Metzias, it's not part of his work. So we said he gets to keep the metziah, and the owner can deduct from his pay the amount of time that it took him to find that metziah. But if he hired him in general to do work, metziah still a balabais. Then whatever he finds belongs to the balabais, because then whatever he finds is part of the malacha that he was hired for. Well, the same thing an eved or a shikha. You don't buy an eved ivri or an amma ivri for a specific job. You buy them for general household work. So then why should their metziah? Why should they be able to keep their metziah? The answer is Amar Abchiba Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hocha be'eved notiv magovius askinan. In our Mishnah, we're talking about where the Eved's job, where the Omer Evriya's job, is to make holes, is to pierce holes, to drill holes in pearls, which is a very, it's a very delicate professional kind of job, and therefore he doesn't want the Ein Rabbi, She'ein Rabbi, Rotzel, Chanoisel, Malacha Acheres, the master would not want him to do any other kind of work. He doesn't want him to be looking for Metzias because his time is a lot more valuable than the Metzias. So therefore, so now when the Eved picks up the Metzias, then we can't say it's part of his job. Yes, the master bought the Eved or the Eved Ivri or the Omer Ivriya specifically for the purpose. He knows they have this talent, they have the skill of Nokiv Margolius. But nevertheless, or they buy them for general work, but he knows they have the skill of Nokiv Margolius, and therefore the expectation is that's what they're going to be doing for the entire time they're working for him. Therefore, we can't say that finding Metzias is part of that job, even though he bought them in the general sense. By the way, the line in Hayom Yom that says that the person has to know what he's capable of an avoider. You have a line over there that says have a person who's capable of making, of like we're saying, of drilling holes in pearls, and instead he goes and starts baking bread instead, and baking bread is a very necessary thing. Nevertheless, v'chet yichosh v'ishahu, because he's not using the talents that the Eibishter gave him. See? So here in a similar, here we have the same thing in a nigaladika way that we're saying, in other words, that if the Eved is capable of drilling holes in pearls, the master doesn't want him to pick up even the most valuable Metzia because his time is worth more than that. Rava gives a different answer. Our Mishnah is talking about Magbia Metzia im Malachdoi Askinan. We're talking about when he picks up the Metzia as he's doing his work. So we're not talking about that he didn't take off any time from his work at all. If he had, it was right there. If he had taken off time, then yes, we're saying that the Metzia would go to then the Metzia, then so if he had taken off time work, then yes, we're talking about that then he'd be able to keep the Metzia, and the owner would and the Balabas would deduct the amount of time that he spent finding it. On the other hand, the Ritva says maybe not necessarily. The difference is an Eved or a Shifa. The difference is that if a worker finds a Metzia, he can't say, look, you know what, I'm going to decide on my, the Ritva draws a distinction like this. When it comes to a regular worker, if there's Bitul Malacha involved, he can't say, listen, you know what, I'll reimburse you for the time that I spent on finding this Metzia, and let me keep the Metzia for myself. He doesn't really have the ability to do that. The most he can do, as we learned the other day, is he can quit the job in the middle, because Poyo Yochalach Sabaya for the Machtia Yoyim. And Eved Ivri, generally, when he finds a Metzia, there's no Bitul Malacha L'Rabe, because an Eved Ivri, in general, is bought for general work, so therefore we can say that any Metzia that he finds, he's able to keep. So we can distinguish, in other words, between whether it takes him any extra time to find the Metzia or not, but by a poil, the Ritva is saying not necessarily you would have that distinction.
So if you're not doing Margolis, but it's just a general effort, then the Metzia should go to
Malacha. That's the point. In other words, Rava is saying when he's picking it up at the same time as his Malacha, therefore, that would be when it doesn't belong to the Odin at all, because now there's nothing to be deducted from his pay or anything. Or he didn't take off any time that should belong to his Balabas. But yeah. Rapapa, who ventures to suffer to the lock at Messias. Rapapa says a third possibility is when we say that whatever a worker finds belongs to the Balabas, would be where to begin with he hired him to find Metzias. The Hechidami, what would be the scenario? The Akfi Agma Bakavi. Suppose, for example, that a river overflooded and fish were stranded on the bank, and now you have a lot of fish. So now he hires somebody to collect as many possible of those fish. So now, if meanwhile he finds another Metzia over there, the worker finds another Metzia over there, then therefore that goes to his master as well, because he was hired for that job of finding Metzias. We're not going to say that the master only expected him to collect fish, and any other Metzia is not part of his job. No, we're going to say his general job is to collect any kind of Metzias. Kavri means fish. But on the other hand, our Mishnah is talking about a regular Eved or Shifcha. You didn't buy them for the purpose of collecting Metzias. You bought them for general household work, so therefore they get to keep whatever they find for themselves. So again, the Braisa had drawn a distinction between whether he hires him for a specific job or not. So uh, So the Rosh explained what we would have to say then. What it means is if he says, I'm hiring you for a specific job, but if I'm telling you that your specific job is to collect Matzias, then whatever you find belongs to me. Okay. Next. The question is, Hai Shivcha Hechidam? We're talking about an Oma Hevriya, a Shivcha. So we're saying that whatever she finds, we said belongs to her. But the question is, what exactly is the scenario? Either I see Shtei Cyrus, if she's already developed Shtei Cyrus and she's considered a Gdola, my boy Gabe, yeah, what's she still doing? By her master, she should go free already as we're learning Kedush. The either like I see Shtei Cyrus, if she hasn't yet developed Shtei Cyrus, then it depends. E Isela of the Abu Ahaya, if her father is still alive, it should belong to her father because she is a Ktana. If the father has died, then she should go free when the father dies to Omer Rish Lakish. In fact, Rish Lakish says in the Gemara and Kiddushin, Omer Hivriya, Koner, Koner Es Atzma, B'Misses Av, Mirshusa Oden, Omer Hivriya, Koner Atzma, B'Misses Av, Mirshusa Oden, Mikava Choymer. Rish Lakish makes a Kava Choymer to say that an Omer Hivriya goes free when her father dies. His Kava we're talking about she was in Omer Hevriya, and then during the 6 years or before she develops Shtei Cyrus or whatever, her father dies. Rish Lakish makes a kavachomer like this. Simone Nairus, when she develops Shtei Cyrus, that doesn't take her out of the Rishus of her father. She's still under the Rishus of her father as long as she's a Naira, until she becomes a Begeris. And yet, if her father dies, then she's out of his Rishus. And yet Shtei Cyrus take her out of the Rishus of her master, because once she develops Shtei Cyrus, then she's free. So Mrs. Ab takes her out of the Rishus of her father, how much more so it should take her out of the Rishus of the master? That's Rish Lakish's Kabbalah. So then in that case, so how do you have a scenario over here where she's an Omer Hevriya, and the Metziah should belong to her, shouldn't it belong to her father? If she's a Ktana, and if her father's dead, then or she develops Shtei Cyrus, then she goes free. So the Gemara says, so what's the problem? Balabi Tosav Rish Lakish. Didn't we slug up Rish Lakish over there and say that the halacha is not like him? So the Gemara says, you're right. Name him a high nami tevet yota. Still, should we say that from here also we have a contradiction to Rish Lakish? Meaning, even if we were to find some way of answering the question that the Gemara asks over there in Kedushin on Rish Lakish, then you would say, nevertheless, you also have our Mishnah contradicting it. Like Moses Loi, not necessarily. La'olam de'iselav. In fact, in our Mishnah, you're talking about where the father is still alive. Umay harei enshalahem la'puki de'rava. When the Mishnah says that belongs to them, we just mean as opposed to it doesn't belong to their master. But if she being a ketana, it still goes to her father. Whether as Rashi had said da'raisa, because she's still under her father's rishus, or whether as Tosfos had said de'rabbanan mishum eva. Either way. The point is, when the Mishnah is saying that it goes la'atzman, we don't mean that she gets to keep it herself. We mean it doesn't go to her master. It remains in her family, and then, because she's a ktana, it goes to her father. So not necessarily is our Mishnah talking about where the father is dead, such that it would contradict the Shlokish. We can be talking about actually where the father is alive.
But it
doesn't say, because the Gemara slugs it up on the basis of a braisa. Okay. Next, we said Matzias Ishtoi. We said if his wife finds something, and by the way, as far as this Maya Boya Gabe, Tosfos also points out that you can't say that she sold herself after she went free, because only a man can do that. A man can sell himself into slavery. An Eved Ivri can sell himself into slavery. A woman cannot. So there's no possible way, the Gemara is saying, that once she's a Gedola, that she would that she would ever be an Omer Hevriya. She can't sell herself, that's what we're saying. And she's also not sold with Mevasa. If a woman steals and she can't afford to pay, she's not sold with an Omer Hevriya. Yeah.
Some of the guys sell no food, she has no food, so she has no food, she can't.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, yeah. Okay. Next. We're learning from Circle. Yeah. Okay, so Matzias Ishtoi. So we say that there is actually that Amban brings on Psukim over there, that Amban brings in his Pirush on the Posif that a woman can sell herself, and many Mephoshim ask on him based on this Gemara and based on other things that seem that not, and they answer even that Amban himself is not necessarily saying Alibi de Hilchasa, he's saying according to a Havam in Sifri or something that brings up the possibility, but in the end it doesn't work out. Okay. We said Metzias Ishto. We said if his wife finds something after he divorced her, then she keeps it for herself. So Mas Yersha Pshita. Obviously, if he divorced her, then she keeps it for herself. What's the chiddush? The answer is Chochma Eskin Mugureshes Ve'enim Mugureshes. Here you're talking about which he's divorced but not divorced, meaning it was a suffix. For example, he threw her get in Rishas Rabim, and it's a suffix whether it landed closer to her or closer to him. So it's an Amar of Zera Amar Shmuel. Kol Makom Shomer Chacham Megureshes Ve'enim Megureshes. Wherever the Chachamim say about a case like that, that a woman is suffix Megureshes, by Lachayim Zenasel, that her husband is still Chayiv to support her. So now you would think. In that case, then he gets the Metziah. But no, time of my Omer Abanan Bailachai, time of my Omer Abanan Metziah Sichel the Baila. What's the reason why the Chachamim say that a woman's Metziah goes to her husband? Is in order to prevent Eva, the husband shouldn't think, I'm supporting her, why don't I get her Metziahs? Here, he's already trying to divorce her, there's already Eva between them anyway, so therefore there's nothing to be gained by giving her, by giving him the Metziah, and therefore she gets to keep it. Because we're talking about over here, Suffolk Megureshes. So when the Mishnah had said that he didn't give her a Ksuba yet, the Mishnah means, in other words, that there's no, we're not in the position of paying the Ksuba yet, because it's still Suffolk Megureshes. And nevertheless, we're saying that already, because of the Suffolk Gerushin, then therefore he doesn't get her Metziah. The Rosh actually brings from the Yerushalmi, who understands differently, that we're talking about there was a Vada Gerushin, but he didn't pay her Huksuba, and nevertheless the Mishnah is saying that then, and nevertheless the Mishnah is saying, you would think, since he didn't give her Huksuba, therefore maybe he should be able to keep her Metziah, and we're saying that not. Again, because like our Gemara is saying, Loi Chashin and La'eva. So the Rosh goes on to explain, and the Rif explains, that it comes out that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi are arguing on this. We have a usual rule that when the Bavli and the Yerushalmi argue, we usually pass them like the Bavli. Because the Bavli was written later than the Yerushalmi. They knew what the Chachamim of the Yerushalmi had said. We have all over in the Gemara Bavli. We have Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish and Rabbi Lazar and all the other Chachamim, and Rabbi Yirmiyah and all the other Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, they knew in Bavli what they had discussed in Eretz Yisrael. And if they disagreed with it, or in this case, they ignored the possibility altogether, then it means they mean to say the Halacha is not like that. So the Rif gives a general rule that when you have a Bavli versus Yerushalmi, the Halacha is like the Bavli. So that being the case, then the din of our Mishnah would apply, like the Bavli says, like our Gemara says, only when she's Suffolk Megureshes, not like the Yerushalmi says if she's Vada Megureshes and she hadn't paid her Uksuba. Well, then, either way, the point is the Metziah goes to her, but rather, according to the Yerushalmi, would say when Suffolk Megureshes, he would still be able to get her Metziah, whereas from our Gemara, it comes out that not. Okay. From here on until the end of the parak, we're going to be dealing with dinim of finding shtaris. So when you consider it, when you find a shtar, on the one hand, there's a simen, because you have names in it, and you can even have, we're going to talk about an Eilam Metzias, we're going to learn about, you can have that a person has a specific simen in it, there's a hole next to a certain letter or something, a simen muvak, but you always have the problem. The fact is, this shtar was lost. First of all, the very fact that it was lost, the Gemara is going to point out, that itself might show there's a problem with it. Why were you so careless as to lose the shtar? That may indicate that there's some kind of problem with it, and maybe in fact, you forged it, and therefore, almost like subconsciously, you realize there's something wrong over here, and therefore you weren't careful with it, or something like that. And not maybe not. Maybe like he still wants to use it, but like somewhere in the back of his head, there's his yetzirah, his nefesh of the kiss is telling him you shouldn't be doing that. So therefore, almost accidentally on purpose, he drops it or something, or at least he's less careful with it. But you have that. It also opens up the possibility that the loiva can claim that he paid it back or whatever, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara. So, who was the one who dropped it in the first place? Was it the malva or was it the loiva, for example? If the malva dropped it, it's still an outstanding debt. If the loiva dropped it, it means it was already returned to the loiva. So that's going to be the subject of, from here till the end of the parak, is discussing the ins and outs of those din. So the Mishnah says, "Motze shtorei choiv." If a person finds shtorei choiv, a person finds a shtar choiv, which says that Reuven had previously lent money to Shimon. Im yesh ben achrayis nechosim. So it depends. If the shtar kazen achrayus nechosim, meaning a shibud on karka. If it says that whatever Shimon, whatever karka Shimon owns at the time, or whatever he's going to buy, or whatever, is all meshubad to this debt, lo yachzir, then he shouldn't return the shtar to Beis Din lefroin mehen, because Beis Din is going to use that shtar to collect from the karka. And the problem is that what if the shtar is posel, and then they're taking away karka from third parties, shaloi kadin, as we're going to work out in the Gemara the details of that. But if there's no achrayus nechosim yachzir, then there's no problem returning shein Beis Din lefroin mehen, because Beis Din is anyway not collecting from third parties, so therefore there's no problem with returning the shtar. Divrei Rav Meir. Either way, you shouldn't return. Because either way, Beis Din is going to use it to collect from karka, because the Chachamim hold achrayus tos soifer. Even if the shtar does not say in it the word achrayus, nevertheless, we assume, as though it said that, we assume that the soifer made a mistake and forgot to include the achrayus part, but it still applies, and the malva can still collect from karka from the Shabbatim. So therefore, either way, you'd have a problem, because again, the shtar may be posel, and then you're using it to collect from people for like a din. Well, that's in effect when we're saying lo yachzir, that means, in other words, we're going to leave it, and then we're going to leave it in escrow and based in. Yeah. What are you, the finder, going to do with the shtar? Yeah, the pashtus means you bring it to based in and deposit it with that. There is, by the way, an interesting point. What about if they do return it to the malva when they weren't supposed to? Now, the Rambam holds in that case, doesn't matter. It's true that there was a reyeser in the shtar. It's true we have reason to suspect there may have been something wrong with the shtar. But the Rambam says, once the malva has it back, whether they returned it to him correctly or not, then he can go ahead and collect with it as though it was a normal shtar. The Ravid disagrees and says it's not really so simple to say that. If you have the cases where we're concerned about that the shtar is forged, or that there's a knunia, or various things that the Gemara is going to discuss over the next couple of blah, then we can't necessarily say just because the malva got it back that you should be able to collect. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara starts off. The Maya Skinner. What are we talking about over here according to the mayor? Ilema Kashachayev Moida. Are we talking about over here where the loiva is Moida that the shtar has not been paid off yet? So then Kiyesh Ben Achrayus Nechosim Amai Lo Yachzir. So what's the problem, according to the mayor, of returning it when, or according to the Chachamim for that matter, of returning it when there's Achrayus Nechosim Hal Moida? He's admitting that the loan is still outstanding, so then it's a perfectly good shtar. If you're going to say that it means when he's not moida, he's claiming that the shtar was already paid off or something, then what's the difference whether there's a achrayus nechosim or not? Even if there's no achrayus nechosim, according to the mayor, why should he be returning? It's true he's not collecting from the chosim shabodim, but he's still collecting from the chosim b'nechorin. And why should we allow him to when the loiva is claiming that the shtar was paid off already? One interesting point, by the way, that's brought up in this connection. Usually the loiva would not have the ability to say that. To say that it was paid off or whatever without some kind of proof. Because I think the Rashba points out, we would say, Shtorcha b'yodim my boy. The Malva would say, look, if you already paid it off, why is the shtar still by me? But here the shtar is not by him, he lost it. Therefore, that takes away that ability to claim that, and therefore that gives the loiva an opening to claim that it was paid back. So what's going on here? So the Gemara says, La'olam kishchayev moida. In fact, we are talking about where the loiva admits that the shtar is still outstanding. The reason why we're saying that even that when there's nechot, that when there's a shibud in it, you shouldn't return it. Because the problem is he may have written the shtar in Nisan and he didn't actually go and borrow with it until Tishrei. Meaning, in other words, Tosfa says that now he doesn't want to have to pay the sofer. It's a bother to write another shtar and get edim and whatever. And he also has to pay the sofer again. So therefore, so now he figures the shtar that I wrote months ago, let me go and use it now. Tosfos explains, in other words, we don't mean, in other words, that he already borrowed with it earlier before he dropped it. That wouldn't work out with the continuation of the Gemara. If he already borrowed with it, then of course he's capable to watch it. What we mean is he hasn't yet borrowed with it, but here it's already dated Nissan, and he plans to first use it in Tishrei. So now. The result is he's going to end up taking from Lakuchas improperly, because so according to Tosfos, his way of looking at it means, in other words, that he hasn't even borrowed the money yet, and here the shtar is going to look like it was already written in Nissan, and as though he already borrowed money in Nissan, and therefore any property that he sold from Nissan onward is going to be taken by from the Lakuchas, because in the Chosim Mishabodim, and the fact is it's not supposed to be that way, because the halvah hadn't even taken place yet. That's the point of Rashi. The Rashba and other Rishonim actually learned differently, that no, we're talking about the shtar was used, but he used it a later date than the actual borrowing. So then it's called a shtar mukdam. It's a predated shtar, and there you have the same kind of problem. You have, in other words, that the loan was only taken out in Tishrei. Meanwhile, it looks as though it was written 6 months earlier in Nissan, and therefore you're going to end up taking from Lakuchas improperly. In fact, the Rashba adds, we're not even talking about the loiva is not lying. Therefore, according to Tosfos, you would have to say the loiva is lying, because he should know there wasn't a loan already, and why is he claiming that? Why is he chayav moida? According to the Rashba, we're saying it's not even that he's lying; he just forgot. He knows there was a loan, he forgot exactly when it took place, and the fact is the shtar says a date of Nissan. So the Gemara asks, Sihochi, if you're going to say like that, Kol Shtori to also come on Nefesh Lehuachi, then we should have the same concern. Any Shtar that comes before us, maybe the Halvah didn't take place yet, or maybe it was predated or whatever. The answer is Kol Shtori Lehri. The answer is because other Shtaris don't have a Reyosa. You don't have any reason to suspect that there's something wrong with it. Hani Re, but here you lost the Shtar, here a Shtar was lost. That itself creates a Reyosa with it, that the Malva himself was not careful with it. So that gives us more reason to say if it was a shtar kosher, he would have been more careful with it. So the very fact that he dropped it itself creates a reyase in it, and therefore that makes it that allows us to argue that maybe it's not a valid shtar. Maybe it wasn't used yet for the loan. Maybe it's predated. Maybe it was paid off already, etc.
But
it could happen, but first of all, if he's going through the midbar, why is he carrying the shtaris with him? Anything could happen, but once we find the lost shtar, that already creates a certain reis in it. We have to be concerned that maybe the very fact that the shtar had an unusual thing happen to it means there's something else the matter with the shtar.
I can't do it based as the rate, but like by person. Everyone knows about the that he lost.
It can happen. So let's say maybe in a case like that, but we're talking about you find an individual shtar like that in the street, then you have to be concerned that maybe it was lost, maybe he wasn't as careful with it as a person would usually be careful with his shtaris. They mentioned an interesting thing in this regard, actually. Every so often you have the question always comes up. For example, you find, let's say, you find things in a gnizer or something. You find evidence, let's say, that the Masoda and Tanakh would be different than the way we have it, because you find old Kisvei Yad or something like that. You find an old Ksav Yad of Rishonim that wasn't known before, and should you decide the Halacha according to it? One interesting approach to it is, you say, for example, the question is asked, let's say you find a pair of tefillin in Gniza. So here, you have like this. We know there's the Machlokes of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam about the order of tefillin. So the one thing that we've shown him bringing that connection, at one point, the platform over the caver of Yechezkel HaNavi in Bavel fell down, collapsed, and they found inside of the pair of tefillin that were written according to Rabbeinu Tam. So they said, you see a raya from that the Halacha should be like Rabbeinu Tam. You see in Yechezkel's times, they were wearing tefillin that way. So a counter argument to that was, okay, maybe they were puzzled, and that's why they put them in Gniza. So in a way, the very fact that you find a pair of tefillin in a Gniza itself brings a suspicion that maybe what are they doing in a Gniza rather than actually being used is because they're puzzled. So that's somewhat similar to the way we're saying over here. A shtar was lost, and now it's found. That itself creates a certain reyes in it. So that whole question of Bechlal, to what extent we use findings like that to establish halacha, is really not so simple at all. But that is one of the arguments that's brought to bear in that connection. So in other words, hypothetically, if we were to find, let's say, if we were to find, let's say, a Sefer Torah that we know for a fact was written by Moshe Rabbeinu or by Ezra or what have you, and we would find differences in Masorah from it, from our Sefer Torah, would not necessarily mean that we're going to go start correcting our Sefer Torah to match it. Because again, you would have to ask, even if we know for a fact that it was written by him, nevertheless, though, we find it in Gniza now, and does that mean maybe at some point it became possible and therefore we can't derive anything from it? So it's an interesting point that Achronim discuss, but there's a cave of Yechezkel Novi in Bavel. I think it still exists there. Abe Yemazeh, I think even the Arabs have a certain respect for it. Yeah, so the Rishonim bring that at one point the platform over it collapsed and they found a whole bunch of things underneath it, including a pair of filling.
Obviously
someone put it there, but the question is, did he put it there because they were kosher to fill in and just they wore out and he couldn't use it anymore, or did he put them there because they were posel and they still have Sheamus of Hashem in there and therefore you have to put them in Gniza?
You mean they buried it in the platform.
Not together with him. No, but in the platform, in the whole general area over there.